Hello and welcome to Greenwich Pantry. This is the Greenwich Pantry podcast, Life is for Cooking. Well, I don't know about you, but September for me went so quickly. In fact, I couldn't believe that it was almost the end of the week, and I forgot, almost forgot, that is, to record the new podcast. Well, I'm sure that you have missed me because I have most certainly missed you. And it's now time for us to get back into the swing of things. So I invited Linda to come and talk to us about what's going on in the food growing world. If you remember the last time we had a glut of courgettes, well, I wonder what's going to be in the, well, in the soils, what's happening in the food growing world. Linda's going to reveal all of that to us. And let's hear it from Linda.
Hi everybody, thank you for having me back, Clara. It's lovely to be back. So it's almost October, which I can't quite believe. Everything starts dying down in the garden and it's all a bit quieter. It's quite nice because it maybe gives you a little bit of time to do all those things that you've been meaning to do all summer but not had time for. Just like maintenance and repair and stuff in the garden, but it's definitely quieter in terms of what you can grow and what you can harvest. But yeah, that doesn't mean it's less exciting, I guess.
Well, you should have added to that getting rid of all the courgettes that
you've still got.
The glut of the courgettes that we had in the summer. And I actually made something with courgettes.
Oh, brilliant. What did you make?
Well, I made like a pie and it was really quite delicious. So I think I've changed my view on courgettes, although I still prefer the yellow ones.
That's fair enough. Did you make a savoury pie or a sweet?
Yeah, it was a savoury pie.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I think one of my favourite things is to make like a quiche with courgettes. I think, yeah, they just work really well.
Do you make your quiche from scratch, though?
I do make my quiche from scratch. I even make the pastry. Yeah, it's only very simple short crust pastry. But yeah, no, I definitely believe in making pastry from scratch, if possible.
And of course, we're going to be making more of those as the winter months come. So we need a veg that's going to help us enjoy pastry and delicious pies in the next coming months.
All nice and filling. But I guess that's the brilliant thing about kind of quiches or anything like that, because they're really easy to make seasonal, aren't they? Because you can use your courgettes in the summer months, and now I imagine if people have still got courgettes growing, and you can use your cabbages or cauliflower or broccoli or something like that later on. So they're pretty versatile, aren't they?
They are. So then what have we got to look forward to? What should we be doing around this time of the year, and what sort of quick gains can we get,
if any? Maybe not so many quick gains, just because everything now is going to take a little bit longer to germinate. So anything you're sowing, any seeds that you're sowing, things are maybe, they just slow down a little bit, because obviously we don't have the same amount of sunlight that we had. There's not anywhere near as much warmth. You kind of maybe have to play like the long game a little bit more. And anyone who has listened to these podcasts before will know that one of my favorite things ever is to grow is garlic. And we're coming up to garlic planting season again, so I'm very excited about that.
I bet you are. So what can we do to vary the garlic growing? Is it always going to taste the same? Are there any sort of variations we can have to it?
To be honest with you, but you can get lots of different varieties. There's a lot out there, like French garlics, or there's a garlic farm, I believe, on the Isle of Wight. And they have lots and lots of different varieties. To be honest with you, I just always, because basically you just plant the clove, I just buy the like organic garlic and just plant those. I have friends who are really into it's called elephant garlic, so they're really big. They become huge. So one clove is like, I don't know, the size of your thumb or bigger. so there's those for sure. I've never visited this garlic farm on the Isle of Wight, but I know somebody who has, and they have made everything you can possibly imagine with garlic. I know they do like garlic beer.
They do. Are you kidding me?
No.
That is incredible.
They do garlic
chocolate. Now I need to go to this farm.
Yeah, no, I'd
not
really...
Not because I do beer, but just curious.
Yeah, no, me too. I'd love to go. But yeah, I know they do that, and they do chocolate. Yeah. They used to do a market stall, I think, from there in somewhere in Bloomsbury. I don't think I've even made it to their market stall, to be honest. But it's an interesting concept, isn't it? I can't quite imagine what garlic beer or garlic chocolate would taste like, but they make it, so yeah.
I guess it's not going to be good for date night, though.
No, possibly not. I think we both have to agree that you're going to try it.
Wow, now you're talking about garlic, I've got some questions for you.
Oh, okay.
Well, so you were talking about this garlic that's called elephant garlic.
Yeah.
I'm really curious about it. However, there's one thing have you ever tried it?
I have, yeah. It's really good. Yeah, it's just really big.
My understanding about garlic is that the smaller it is, the stronger it is, you know. And I've always tried to, you know, when I'm looking for garlic, I'm looking for the really small bulb, because it's really kind of strong and pungent. Does that translate when it's a big sized elephant garlic, do you think, or is it watered down in any way?
I don't know. I think they're still pretty strong. I think the thing with garlic is it's like the flavour really develops. So when you first harvest them and they're really fresh, although they do still have a strong flavour, but it's quite delicate in a way, and it doesn't give you terrible breath. I don't know why, just because it's much fresher. And a lot of people say it's much easier to digest. I know there are people out there that have problems, don't they, with garlic? But then as it dries and ages, the flavor intensifies. Something that I knew but I wasn't really sure how to express, you know, when you slice a garlic clove in half,
yeah,
and you can see the little gem inside it.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, if you take that out, that's what causes problems for people who can't digest garlic, and what causes them like the smell, the bad breath. So yeah, it's something I learned in Italy, and that they all generally take that part out.
I'm so glad you went to Italy.
Yeah. But then I actually heard somebody here talking about, a chef here talking about it, saying, oh, yeah. And he was French, actually, and was like, yeah, if you just take that part out, then it solves a lot of those problems. So anyone who is put off by the smell of garlic should do that, and then they can enjoy it freely.
So is it that part that goes green sometimes?
Yeah, because basically when you plant those cloves, when you want to grow it, that's the part that basically is the shoot that comes out of the ground and what the garlic bulb will form around. So yeah, that's basically the growing shoot.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow, so we can actually potentially enjoy garlic without... I mean, it's got so many health benefits.
Yeah.
We already know that it's good for the heart, you know. Mm-hmm. It's got lots of antibiotics.
Yeah.
Properties in it, but I guess people are always put off because of the smell. But if there is one out there, and that's why I want to talk about the varieties, because when we start exploring varieties, it's you know, it's like a huge tinderbox where you just open something and then you know, there's so many different varieties out there that we've never actually uncovered. So it's nice to be able to watch out for it. If people aren't growing, where would you suggest they look? I mean, I'm not saying you should name the supermarkets, but are there really good markets where people can, I guess farmers markets, isn't it?
Yeah, I think probably farmers markets. Yeah, I've never seen elephant garlic in any of the like big supermarkets, to be honest, but I'm sure if whatever like farmers market is local to you, then you should, yeah, it's much more likely that you'll find it. As they say, I know this farm from the Isle of Wight has a stall somewhere in Bloomsbury. but yeah, I would think farmers market is definitely the place to go to, because
And I think even a trip to the Isle of Wight at this point. Yep. Because I know for a fact that the Isle of Wight have this wonderful tomato growing farm. I don't know if they're still going, but they had the best tomatoes, and I'm not really a fan of tomatoes, as everyone probably knows by now.
Yeah.
But tomatoes go really well with garlic, so if they're in season as well,
yeah,
you could do a really nice tomato and garlicky type of salad. That's just like food heaven.
It absolutely is. But definitely, maybe we need to organize a Greenwich Pantry trip to the Isle of Wight and see if we can recruit some people willing to go. But
it sounds like a good thing to do. So what else is happening out there?
Sorry to be obsessed with garlic. I'll I think the other things that are really nice at the moment are you can start planting, if you haven't already, start sowing seeds for all the oriental greens. They're all kind of like the mustard seeds, very peppery salads, different cresses. Landcress is one that I absolutely love, but it is so potent and so peppery, but it's almost a wasabi type taste.
It's
very, very strong, so I don't think you want a whole bag of it or your salad entirely made of that, but it just, if you've got maybe more delicate leaves, that's just a great addition to it, because it just really gives it a bit of a punch, I guess. But they're all things that are work really well at this time of year, and they are actually quite quick to, from like sowing to harvest. Often you can do like maybe eight weeks if you buy the very fast growing ones. There's a lot of them called, I don't know if you've ever heard of them, there's things like Mizuna or Mibuna as well, all of them, Miss Buna, there's lots of names like that, and they're all brilliant at this time of year.
So if you'd see a packet of cress that's called Mizuna, don't think it's a spelling mistake.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Miss Buna, Mizuna. Who knows this stuff? Honestly.
I really don't know. I guess a lot of them, they're called Oriental Green, so maybe more Japanese influenced, or maybe that's where all the names come from. But and they've got some of them really beautiful. You can get red Mizuna, which it's such a lovely plant, because it's so pretty.
Sounds amazing. Really does. Is there anything out there that you can use for decorating, like flower petals? Could you use some of that Mizuna maybe? I don't know.
Definitely, that'd look really pretty. And the Mizuna isn't as strong as the landcress, so it's good as a garnish, because it's not overpowering. Other things that are still flowering and still growing are nastertions.
Tell us about that.
I think they're one of my favorite flowers. The leaves are edible and really delicious, because they're again quite peppery, so quite rockety. And then the flowers are edible as well, and are much more delicate, but they look beautiful in salads. You can get different colors, but generally they're orange, but you can also get some maybe darker red ones, and very, very pretty, and they're super easy to grow. It's a bit late to sow any seeds now, to be honest. You need to be doing that in spring. But once they've taken off, they just go everywhere, and then they'll sell seed year after year, so they're brilliant to get out there, because not only are they edible, they're really pretty as well, and great at covering areas of the garden maybe you want to hide a little bit. Nasturtiums are definitely a good one.
Nasturtiums, wow. This is so exciting. So many things to look out for, because of course, like when it comes to winter months, we don't necessarily think about eating salads, do we?
No.
I mean, we're eating veg, and it's quite nice to get the variety and to get like some salads that you can actually enjoy, that's not just lettuce and tomatoes.
Yeah, because it's a bit more of a challenge in winter, isn't it? Because like you say, it's maybe more focused on maybe root vegetables, or like cabbages and cauliflowers, that kind of thing. I love salad all year round, so it's nice to have a bit of a variety over winter as well, with some different flavours in there, I guess.
So in terms of vegetables then, what is there?
I guess One of the biggest harvests that's going to be coming up or has already started is pumpkins and squashes.
Oh yes, of course.
I think my absolute favourite is butternut squash.
Both
in terms of growing and eating, mainly because it's super easy to peel. Because the one thing that I hate about pumpkins is the really tough skin, and you have to, it's almost exhausting trying to cut it and peel it. But I find with butternut squash, it's much more delicate. The skin's much more delicate, so it's just easier to kind of prep and cook with.
Yeah, and butternut squash, I love butternut squash. Mm-hmm. I love butternut squash soup.
Yep.
I love butternut squash in the oven.
Yep.
Yeah. I love the colour of butternut squash.
Yeah, the shape of it's great as well. Yeah.
This is such a cool squash, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does it come in another colour apart from the orange?
I don't think it does. You know, I've never seen it in a different colour, because there's so, I think with this, again, we're quite limited, aren't we, until you start growing. Like if you just go to the supermarket, we're quite limited in what we know is available in terms of pumpkin and squashes. So you kind of know the butternut one, and you know the I don't even know the names of them, to be honest with you, the typical kind of Halloween one.
Yeah,
its name now, but we don't have like masses of variety, do we? Where in reality there's, I don't know, probably hundreds of different types, but I've never seen another coloured butternut squash.
No,
there probably is, but yeah, not that.
Yeah, easy. And I think people forget that butternut squash is actually in the same family as the pumpkins.
Mm.
And I think the butternut squash, you can get in different sizes as well, can't you?
Yep. Yeah, because they can. I think this, with pumpkins, they can be a little bit intimidating, can't they? Because they're big, and it's a bit like, oh, what am I going to do with this like 2 kilo pumpkin? But yeah, you can get the squash, the butternut squashes can be a bit smaller, can't they? You can find the like the shorter, squatter ones, which are maybe a bit easier to plan what to do with, I guess.
Yeah, and I'm sure that you can do something with the skin as well. I can't remember exactly. There's a recipe that I've made before which involved you roast the butternut squash in the oven with some olive oil, and I mean not the extra virgin olive oil, but you know, the baking olive oil, and then you add some black pepper and a little bit of salt to it, and then the skin peels out. But then people do something else with the skin, and I need to go back and try and find out what else we did with the skin. Or else you just scrape the thing out and then just use the skin as some sort of, you know, serving bowl or something.
Almost like a platter type thing. It kind of comes with its own serving dish, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Or maybe you can use the skin, like maybe you could fry it into like crisps almost.
Maybe that's what we did, because I kind of remember it was around the same time that we sort of put the kale in the oven.
Yeah,
and then that became quite crispy, and it was quite nice to have crispy kale and maybe butternut squash as well at the same time.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
It's also just, I find it so satisfying when you realize you've used every single part of the vegetable.
You realize that actually it's not really, you know, you shouldn't throw what, I mean, if you do throw it away in the sense that you're putting it in the food waste basket, surely that's not a bad thing.
No.
But it's like when you don't realise that you don't need to chop half of it.
Because
you can't, you know, like if you're peeling an onion and you chop half of the onion away because you can't be bothered to take
Yeah, it's a bit of a waste, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think one of my favorite recipes with butternut squash is like a warm salad. So if you chop it up and roast it, like you were saying, with salt and pepper and oil, and then what was it with garlic, obviously, mushrooms, just like normal champignon mushrooms, feta and rocket, and then it's like a dressing with balsamic vinegar. It's so good.
That does taste good.
Yeah, just like
you
a
know you're
going
to have to write that recipe.
Yeah.
Because that does sound so delicious.
Yeah, yeah. Warm salads in winter. Yeah, definitely one of my favourite things.
Yeah, and that's the point. You know, you can have salads that are not just cold. They can be warm. You can have, you know, warm rice salads. You can have lots and lots of different options for salads. Obviously, you're not going to, you know, heat up the... if it's just like an iceberg lettuce.
Yeah, that's not nice warm, I don't think. Maybe, I don't know, never tried it, but I don't think.
No, I have tried it. Oh,
yeah. Okay, fair enough. I'll take your word for it then.
But yeah, so I think just experimenting with warm salads is quite a nice thing.
Yeah.
So, well, thank you so much.
That's okay. Can I say one last thing about butternut squash?
Oh, please do.
Just another reason it's so great is that the seeds are really easy to save. So not only you're not throwing away the skin because you're making it into crisps, you can also save the seeds and either eat them, I guess, or plant them next year. So you've used everything.
Maybe that's what we did.
Oh, okay.
Maybe we used the skin and the seeds. Because I remember somebody saying, oh, yeah, you can do something with this seeds. Because it was like in a group session, so I was thinking, can you really? Oh wow, that's amazing. That was my first amount. I think you're right, you can. I didn't know you could replant it though.
Oh, but I guess you can definitely. We eat pumpkin seeds, don't we? So yeah, I'm sure you can eat butternut squash seeds as well.
So what do? You just kind of put it in a jar and keep hold of it, or you replant it immediately?
No, yeah, so if you like, because they get all that kind of skin, that funny stuff on them, from the inside, so you've scooped it all out. Just it's best not to get water on them if possible, but yeah, you need to kind of clean them a little bit and then keep them basically in a cool dark place, like in a paper bag or something, and then you can plant them probably March, April time, depending on where you are. So yeah,
wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you so much.
That You're was welcome. So wonderful. It's a pleasure.
And we are going to have you back again.
Yeah, I hope so. I look forward to it.
All right. Take care now.
You too. Thanks, Laura. Bye.
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 Well, I hope like me you're pumped for the next few months and you're going to go away and look for new delicious vegetables and yummy things to grow. And in the meantime, if you like this podcast, please do share, like again, and see you next time.